Okay. This is podcast number two. This time we are back in the compound in my backyard in Rochester.
You have the guard dogs.
We have guard dogs. I have my buddy Jeremy Williams. He's from Rochester. He's a lifelong RagBrai guy, so we're going to talk a little bit of RagBrai tonight. Probably talk about a few other things. I'm sure he's got an attitude about e-bikes. and by the way, Greg, I just so you guys know that, because Greg is the only one that will listen to this podcast probably, Jeremy also made us a, what the beer did you bring tonight?
It's a brown ale that I made, and it kind of failed because I messed up the mash because I was trying to hurry, but it didn't turn out too bad. So maybe you can call it a mild instead of a brown.
Stand by, old judges.
All right, let Ronald have a taste, a little taste.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. It's kind of warm because it's been on the back of my bike all night.
We just finished doing about, I don't know, 15, 18 miles. Just right around. We went to Little Thesis. We'd give them a shout out.
You're combining breweries
Jesus
here.
I just did, yeah. We went to Thesis, one of the microbreweries in Rochester, and they were so busy that we actually couldn't get a table, so we grabbed a couple of crawlers and went and sat in a park and had a couple of beers, and they didn't make them back here, so they get no props tonight. It's all about Jeremy's homemade beer tonight. So let's just get into it. Jeremy has done how many RagBrais?
Well, my dad started going on RagBrai in 1979, so I experienced my first RagBrai in 79, and I would have been four. And the first RagBrai I rode on was in 1984, and I would have been nine. I rode from Glenwood, Iowa, which is my hometown, to Shenandoah, Iowa, and I rode with my mom and my uncle John, who went with us that day. My dad didn't ride with us that day. I think he rode with us for part of the day. So in 84, I think I rode that one day. You're testing my memory here. I was just a kid. So 84, I rode a day. And then in 85 through 87, I think I rode 2 days. I generally would ride the first day and the last day because my dad was going. My mom and I would go drop him off at the start. I would ride the day. And then my mom and I would go home, and then we'd go out to pick them up at the end of RagBrai, and then I would ride the last day.
And did your dad do them from the start?
Yeah, he always did.
The first year?
Yeah. Well, no. The first RagBrai was 73, 72.
Okay, so he started a few years in. But
He started like 7 or 8 or something was his first one.
And he did everyone he did all the miles until just recently.
Yeah, he's 72 now, so, I mean, he had some heart things a while back, but he still goes. I mean, and he rides, but yeah, he doesn't do the whole thing anymore. He had a pretty good claim to fame, though, that he had, 35, 40, where he did like every mile. I mean, he went.
I think that was when I first met him. That's where he was still in that, that hunt. Yeah.
So, yeah, so 84 through 87, I did parts of the rides, but I rode on those ones. And then in 88, was when I did my first full RagBrai. So I'd have been 13. I did my first full RagBrai, and I've been doing the whole thing ever since. Well, until this year.
So what are your thoughts on not having it at all?
It stank. I mean, you know, it's the time where I get to spend like a whole week without kids or wife or, I mean, kind of one-on-one with my dad.
So you understand that Megan's going to hear this. She'll be one of four people that'll listen to this, so you're in trouble now.
I'm in trouble now. But just getting that one-on-one time with my dad that I don't get anymore. And I really, really miss that. And I'm hoping sometime this year we can plan an alternate thing to get kind of a similar experience with intimate time. It would still be intimate even if the kids and the wife are there because you don't have the distraction of work or, I mean, all that other stuff that kind of just hangs over your head on a daily basis. But on top of not seeing my dad, our group is small. We're not, I mean, you see these RagBrai groups like, the pot belly peddlers, or they're huge groups, or some of these huge teams that are out there, they're 20, 30, 40 people. They're huge, and our team's 8. We try to keep it to less than 10.
And you guys pretty much stay in houses. You don't really... Yep.
We line up private housing, and generally we've been doing it for so long that a lot of the housing we stay in, we've stayed in before. So like when we go to a town, I've been to towns where it's like a third, fourth time we've stayed with the same people since we've been doing it for so many years. But yeah, so you're seeing people that you've seen before, and it's time to reconnect. And then I have our family, our group's small, and it's really kind of a family group. I mean, last year we had, it was me, my dad, my wife's cousin, my wife's uncle, and then a father's son. So family, a friend of mine from college, Mikey, and very close friend. I mean, feels like family. I've known him for 20, 25 years. I mean, it's a very a close-knit, tight group. And you miss that, you know. It was really hard not having it. You tried to adapt. I mean, I still took the week off work. I was still doing rides that week, like me, Megan, my wife, and my son Dexter did the Plainview Trail. Another day I took my daughter Ellie and then Dexter again. We went down and rode down to Harmony on the River Trail.
Did you join in with any of the, what were they calling it, the River? There was a group of people from Ragbrai. I don't remember how many teams or buses that went down and stayed in Lanesboro and went out and kind of did their own riding off
no,
of that.
I didn't do. We're socially distanced, man.
Well, you still should be able to do that on a bike. So your feelings on the fact that Ragbrai split up after all that whole mess, what do you think about that? Since you've been involved with it for so long.
Them not having it this year? I mean, well,
not that so much that there was going to be two this year.
Oh, the bike, the Iowa ride.
Yeah.
With the old Ragbrai director. That was very crazy. I mean, I didn't really understand. It's honestly, in my opinion, it felt to me like he had kind of an idea of doing something ahead of time. And this is all speculation. I don't know. I don't have any secret connections or inside sources or anything, but just what I saw that was publicly available. I kind of felt like he had an idea that he wanted to expand his brand beyond Ragbrai. And then kind of butted heads with Ragbrai and kind of viewed it as an opportunity. Like,
so the whole mess with that dude that was getting the Bush beer, all that was just, and then his comments that he was supposed to say something because Des Moines Registry is owned by.
Oh, it's owned by the, is it Gannett? It's the same company that owns USA Today. I mean, it's a big.
And so that whole thing is just, he just kind of blew that out of proportion, you think, just so he could blow it up and get out of there?
I kind of got that feeling. I mean, I think he had a legitimate beef. I mean, but I have legitimate beefs with my employers every once in a while, but it's just kind of, it's my own thing, but he was in a position of power, you know, and I kind of want to start something different, and here was an opportunity to kind of make that separation.
So what do you think is going to happen next year?
I would actually be surprised if he pulls off his, because he moved away. I mean, I think he moved to Arizona. He's running the Tour de Tucson now.
He's running that?
I'm 99% sure.
So Damien's not running that anymore? I haven't talked to Damien in forever, but I thought Damien Alexander ran that.
I thought the TJ guy that was running Ragbrai moved to Tucson and is part of that organization now. So I don't even think he lives in Iowa anymore. And now when we get done talking, I'm going to search it online. It's like,
because all we're doing is sitting here shooting the shit. We have no facts at all, and we're not fact checking.
This is all speculation.
Yeah, it doesn't work here. Yeah. So good. So now that we've got serious shit out of the way, we just went for a bike ride. Went to, like we talked about earlier, I don't know if we had this on here or not. I'm gonna throw it again. We went out and actually had a couple beers, sat in the park. The trails are busy.
They were busy. Saw a city councilman.
Talked to a city councilman. Well, you did. He's your city councilman.
He is my city councilman.
He's a bike guy.
Yeah, he's a bike guy.
Yeah, he is. He's a weird, although I've done talking to him because he's on a fucking e-bike.
Oh, yeah.
He does have
an e-bike.
Yeah, he's got his reason, and I get.
You admitted to him, though, that if he has an e-bike and actually uses it correctly, that you would let it go.
But he's a city council person. He's using it to get to and from work and doesn't want to sweat. I don't have a problem with that.
All right.
But if he's out,
I think you just lost half your listenership because you gave in to an e-bike.
No, I haven't given in to e-bikes for shit. I understand. As long as you're using it as a car rather than actually just going out and riding a bicycle, I'm starting to get to... I've always understood that there's a reason for them. I don't agree with 90% of the reason that people are riding them, though.
Yeah. My dad is a perfect candidate for an e-bike. He's 72. He has a heart problem. He's a little overweight, you know.
I haven't seen your dad in a while, but that surprises me because your dad is like, even though he's a big guy. I mean,
he's
a big guy, but he's tall. I mean, he's
taller than me. Yeah, he's tall.
He's a big guy, and he's a good cyclist. And him giving into an e-bike would be, I don't know, maybe in would be 8 years. I'll be in that boat, and maybe then I'll be on his side. But I'm not right now.
No, you don't have any heart conditions. You're fine,
as far as I know. Otherwise, how much riding have you been doing this summer? You guys did a couple bikepacking
trips.
Oh,
yeah. So kind of back to, losing Ragbri. I mean, it would have been really tough kind of in my, I guess, pre-moving to Rochester days. I mean, when I used to be the kind of rider that I would ride to get in shape for Ragbri. And then when Ragbri was over, I'd kind of hang my bike up.
Yeah, I know, because we used to do Tuesday. So Jeremy and I have done Tuesday night rides together for 15 years.
Yeah, since 2004, 5.
Something like that, yeah. And it would be, we would ride hard all summer long, and then it would kind of tail off because when it got hot or whatever. And it got slower and slower, but you could always tell when Ragbri was coming because Jeremy would all of a sudden want to fucking do we're doing 10 miles of beer drinking and he wants to do a 30-mile ride before we have our first beer. And so it's like, oh, Ragbri's coming up. Jeremy wants to train again.
I got to get in shape.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely, it's tough to admit this, but in my younger days up through, college, I was a roadie. I hate to admit it, but I was.
You're still a roadie. I don't give a shit if your kids ride off road.
I'm not a roadie.
Bullshit. The closest you come to riding off road is watching your kids ride off road.
I'm a mountain bike team coach now.
That's just sad to think about, really.
I know. I'm actually watching.
I've seen your mountain bike skills, and they're.
Oh, they're terrible.
I know it.
I'm watching YouTube videos and learn how to do bunny hops and wheelies because I want to teach my kids how to do those things.
Your kids will be teaching you.
They will. They're already better off-road riders than I am. My daughter could ride me into the ground out at Game Haven. But I'm trying. I'm learning. But yeah, I was never a racer. So don't think that I was a racer. I mean, I was a roadie. I mean, I wore the tight shorts and the jerseys and. I mean, I was that wave.
You still do.
I'm wearing knickers and t-shirts.
That's because you came out and rode with me and you didn't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're in that shit all the time.
I am not. But yeah, I mean, I was a roadie, like high school, college. I mean, I just wanted to ride fast. I mean, I always had, my first nice bike was a nice Trek aluminum bike, a Trek 1200 I think I got when I was 14.
And what did you pay for that bike?
Oh, jeez. Wasn't that much. I mean,
the only reason I'm asking this is because...
Well, my dad bought it for me. I didn't buy my bike.
Okay, so your dad bought you a bike and paid probably what? $400?
$400 or $500 for it.
So what did you just pay for your daughter's bike?
Oh, that her
racing bike.
Her Marin mountain biking bike, $1,100, and that was a really good price.
Yeah,
I mean,
no shit,
that
was a great price. Yeah, I was going to say, that was a really good deal. So in other words... You've doubled the price of your bike just for your kid to ride off-road.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I mean, I had that bike, which is a great bike. I still have it. I have the frame. The parts have been cannibalized.
Is that framed out in your basement?
I do. I still have my old Trek 1200 frame. It's hard to use for anything now because it was the old 7-speed with the 126, isn't that right? 126 mm-hmm. rear spacing, and everything now is, what, 130?
Yeah, so you're totally screwed.
Well, I still have the hub. I think the wheel set... I think the rim broke, but I still have the hub.
Can't we just bend that fucker out so it fits?
It's an aluminum frame, though. I thought you weren't supposed to bend them out.
Flex anything.
But yeah, I got that bike, which was a great bike. It was back when 105 components were, I mean, they were still, I guess they are still, but it was a nice bike. I rode that for a couple of years and outgrew it. And then I got a Trek 2300.
You understand I hate everything about Trek.
I thought you keep bringing this shit up. You used to ride for Trek.
We're not talking about that right now. I rode for a Trek bicycle shop. Technically, I don't. Well, maybe I did for a little bit, but that was just on Ragbrai. We rode for Trek.
But yeah, I got that Trek 2300. It was a carbon main frame with a chromoly'd rear triangle and an aluminum fork. Great bike.
Yep. You're good.
It was purple.
Oh, you had the. I had the orange. You had the purple ones?
I had the purple Trek 2300.
So it was.
I still have that frame in my basement, too.
Really?
Yep. I should dig these back out and build them back up.
You should.
I could probably still ride the 2300, but the 1200 is too small for me. But I rode that until I got to college. I mean, I grew up in Glenwood, Iowa. I mean, it was a small town where I was, well, not that small, 5,000 people. But I'm teaching myself how to work on bikes. Luckily, my dad had a friend that managed a bike shop in Council Bluffs that would show me things. When I bought my 2300, when I went up to pick it up, he actually made me help him put it together, which was a cool thing. I think I got it when I was 16.
Perfect experience for any kid.
Yeah, it was awesome. He's like, you got to come get your bike. I'm like, okay. He's like, but plan to be here an hour or two because you're going to help me put it together. So I went up there and I'll put it together. I rode that bike into college. And then in college, I lucked out because I actually made some bicycling friends. And that's where I picked up that, you've seen this, I still ride it, that Raleigh Technium Pro road bike.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that bike's beautiful. So the
let's not push it. It's okay.
It's a 531. It's a beautiful bike. But
it is actually pretty. I know a couple guys that just drool over stuff like that.
But yeah, so that's the components off that 2300 got moved over to that bike, and I saw that bike's on my trainer now. That's it. But yeah, I need to dig it back up. But you can't put very wide tires on it, and so many of our rides now usually involve gravel. So get back to there. But I'm straying from your original question. What I've been doing now since there wasn't any Ragbrai this year.
Oh, you did throw a question.
Yeah, you did throw a question. Yeah. I got sidetracked.
So the best part is now I get to figure out how this is going to work with dogs barking. Mm. And you can actually hear those little turds back there. I think there's probably a deer out in the backyard. So I'm gonna shut my mic down. You go ahead and talk. I'm shut my mic down. And I'm gonna go yell at dogs.
All right. But yeah, so we this year, back to the original part of the story, that I lucked out that when I came to Rochester, I kind of met Ron, which kind of helped getting me steered from being the Ragbrai rider, where I train for Ragbrai. Ragbrai's over. I hang my bike up. And my wife used to actually ride quite a bit with me. Now she's gotten into running, but back then she was riding, and she would even tease me, like, as soon as Ragbrai gets over, you don't want to ride anymore. And
that's true. I did notice that. Like, you missed Tuesday nights after Ragbrai was the week after Ragbrai is over with, you can't find anybody to come out and do just a fun evening ride. It was like everybody needs a week or so to, like, get back into real life again. Because you have to admit, when you go on Ragbrai, the joke always was with the group I rode with, it was that if Ragbrai was 2 weeks long, I would just go ride my bike and never wind up back in the real world again. I would just become a bike bum. Mm-hmm. Because 1 week is bad. At the end of the week, it takes you days. You go back to work and you just literally sit and stare at the wall. It's like, I could be on a fucking bike right now instead of doing this shit. And then so we used to have guys that wanted us to ride across Illinois. So we get to the southeast side of Iowa, and they say, hey, let's ride to Chicago. Mm. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that because I will never go back to work. I'll never go back to real life. I'm just going to go just keep riding until I can't ride anymore. And so I think, yeah, you're right. When Ragbrai is over with, you don't do any riding anymore. You just kind of have to, like, sit down and become a normal person, as normal as you can possibly be. But
yeah, but yeah, I mean, honestly, you're the one that kind of got me into, let's ride after Ragbrai at night. Oh, by the way, you can ride in the winter. I'm like, no, you can't. You're like, yeah, you can. And you got me, my first winter ride I ever did was with you. And I mean, back then, like, I owned two bikes. I owned the Raleigh you already talked about, and I owned, like, a really shitty giant Rincon bike I bought when I went to college as a commuter.
You were with us when I think we've talked about this on a different podcast, but when Tuesday Night Ride started was I called out some people and said, I don't think we were doing Tuesday Night Rides yet. And I said, there was a blizzard.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah. I'm, the blizzard.
And I'm,
ride,
and
yeah.
I'm like, fuck that. The weathermen are wrong. It's not going to snow. And we all met down from my place. It's literally 2 miles. And from your place, it's probably 3, right? Was you and I and Dave Weber, maybe? Was there 3-4 of us that went down there? And literally what we did, we rode down to the Eagles Club and just sat there and drank and made fun that it wasn't going to snow enough to ride. And I carried my bike 2 fucking miles down the middle of the road in about 19 inches of snow.
Oh, yeah, it was awful.
And then after that, we started we switched it from Wednesday. That was a Wednesday.
Wednesdays,
night,
yeah.
And then we switched it to Tuesday nights because that would work. And we did it for, I mean, there were guys, not myself, but other guys did it. James and a couple other guys did every Tuesday night for
years.
10 years probably before they actually had a miss because of
kids and children
and whatever. So it's fizzled, but it's starting to come back. We've done it a little bit more with it, but it's, you can tell our age now too, because back then our rides were going to ride 20, 30 miles in the dead of winter. And back then there was no fat bike. So we were literally riding mountain bikes on gravel roads out to a bar.
And Trevor would kill us.
Trevor Olson was the one that actually wiped us out because Trevor would say, okay, I got a route. It's 15 miles long and we'll do the whole loop and it'll be 20 miles long. 25 miles later, we still haven't got to the bar. And then when we finally get to the bar, everybody's frozen. Our lights are dying, because the lights were bad back then. And by the time we got back into town, everybody's like, fuck you. We're never riding with you again. Thank God he moved to Colorado, so we're safe without. We can our rides. And you have to admit, our rides have gotten a little bit weaker.
Yeah, they have.
It's tough to keep. I got the idea from guys in Kansas City to do this, and they all admitted that. Good luck trying to keep things going, trying to keep it fresh. It's hard to do it. You've been doing it for that many years. Like I think it's probably 15 years we've been doing this now.
So even the Tuesday night ride is very similar as like our RagBrag group. It's not even just riding Tuesdays, just our riding group in general. I mean, you see people come and go. You have people for a while, they leave. You get new people that come and then they leave. And our RagBrag group's the same way. I mean, the group I'm riding with now on RagBrag is, other than my dad, is not the same group I was riding with 10 years ago, which isn't the same group I was riding with the 10 years before that.
Right. Yeah.
It just turns over.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's fine.
The better part of it is that there's a person like you, or in our Tuesday night group, it was James, that was the consistent. That's kind of cool. All right, so we're almost out of beer. So the other guys that we do these with have Top of the Hill and they ring a bell. We just do this.
Oh, it sounds good.
It's a little bit of a splasher, but okay. So bring your glass over. I can't walk that far.
He's tied down. What are we drinking here?
This is LTS. This is the stuff that we were drinking the other night when you and I were there.
Oh, Tuesday. We've seen you more often recently on Tuesday nights than we used to.
Well, I think my coaching career has ended.
Oh, that's too bad.
No, it's not, actually. Someday there's going to be a podcast that I don't even know if it'll ever get published at all, and I'm just going to let people have it about coaching.
So we're out of time, you telling me?
Oh, no, we got like 7 minutes.
Oh, so I'm trying to get back. So to wrap it up, in the 7-minute wrap-up, you asked kind of what was it like not having.
I actually asked you a question.
You did, and I keep sidetracking us, and I try to bring us back, then you sidetrack.
Okay, stand by. Before you finish your RagBrag story, I have one more story to tell before you tell your RagBrag story,
right?
Because this is where this goes. Because if you ever talk to people from RagBrag, that's all they have is a million RagBrag stories.
Oh, everybody has a million RagBrag stories.
We've had bonfires outside here, and we start talking RagBrag stories, and my wife will come out, and she's never been to them. She's like, I can't fucking stand listening to you guys. because if you're not there, they're not that – they're kind of interesting, but they're really not. Because if you don't participate, if you've never experienced it, it gets to be that way. The only thing I'll tell you about that night was – and this is – we're going to go over because I have to tell this story. So my wife doesn't drink beer. But whenever she goes on her trips, lighthouses, whatever she's doing, she always brings me back microbreweries.
Oh, and whiskey.
And whiskey. Well, and the one day she was, I can't remember where she was at, Outer Banks or something. She was looking for a microbrewery. There was a lady planting flowers. She asked her for directions. The lady goes, well, does he like moonshine?
Ooh, I think I drank some of that moonshine.
Yeah, she's like, well, probably. So she brought us back some moonshine from this lady, and Jeremy and his dad were out, and I think this was probably the second time I met your dad, and we were having a bonfire, and there's some other people out here, and I had to fucking hide the moonshine because you and your dad were going to drink it all. They're like, oh, this is the greatest ever, and it was smooth, it was fantastic tasting, it was everything you would want in a moonshine, and you clowns were telling old stories about Ragbri's that nobody else had even understood, and drinking all my moonshine. So literally, we cut you off.
I think the only reason we came out here, well, we wanted to see you, of course, but my dad was having like bike problems, and all like the bike mechanics he took to in his hometown couldn't figure it out, and you figured it out. It's like having a brake problem or something, and you finally figured out what the issue was.
But, luckily.
Yeah.
No, that was a beer cough. Sorry. No. So, finish.
No. So it's not actually a Ragbri story. You were asking about like, so what did I do this year since there wasn't a Ragbri? And I was like, I'm trying to give you credit. We're saying I met you, and then by starting rides with you, and then with James and George and all these other people, now we have like Paul and Brad. Luckily, we have a great community. So having something like Ragbri not happen, which in the old days before I moved here, I mean, it would have sucked. I would have hated it. It would have been awful. But now, today, like, okay, there's no Ragbri. Let's do something. So, we've been kind of planning. So, me and then a few guys went to Schwamigan and did, like, a four-day bikepacking trip. And it was amazing. It was an experience that...
Schwamigan's, you know, central part of Wisconsin.
Well, north central.
North central, yeah.
Yeah, Wisconsin. So we did like a 4-day bikepacking trip that was just...
The reason I had to mention that there's this one lady named Lynn. I don't know if she'll ever listen to this one, but she listens to the Full Spectrum one and got a little upset with me and my e-bike bitching. So just in case anybody from outside of the Midwest here or whatever happened to listen to this, we just need to let everybody know where it's at.
All right. It's beautiful. If you can get there, go... Even if you don't bicycle, just go. It's absolutely gorgeous. But if you can bicycle it, even better. But it's all gravel. I mean, it's not just gravel. It's loose ass gravel. They're logging roads is what they are.
But so like Iowa B roads?
I don't. They might be worse. I mean, they were
really
loose. But yeah, we did that trip, and then since Ragbri didn't happen. I'm into biking. My wife's into biking. She's more into running now, but she's a good, strong cyclist. And the kids, I mean, Ellie and Dex are into biking. We went up to Bemidji, and we rode around Bemidji on the Paul Bunyan Trail.
Nice.
Beautiful. So, I mean, losing Ragbri, while it sucked, I mean, I live with Rochester being, it's a small city, but I'm really part of an awesome bicycling community. So losing something, while bad, but it can be filled in with other great bicycling experiences, which also generate great stories. I mean, I know I have Schwamigan bike trip stories and went to Walker, Minnesota.
Are you saying you're having a bonfire at my house and you're bringing the moonshine this time?
I'll try to make some moonshine.
Should we?
We don't want to say anything. It's kind of illegal.
No, it's not. We can make so much. You can buy a whole kit now.
Oh, make moonshine?
Haven't you ever seen that? Go to eBay now. Remember, so you and I were looking at this like years ago, like maybe when Moonshiner's TV show first came out, and you could buy bits and pieces.
And now you can assemble it yourself?
Yeah. But you could buy like the coil, or you could buy the bottom of the tank, whatever. You know, you couldn't buy everything together, but now you can buy kits, and they're like, and it's like legal to do. So it's like we could literally go and make. No, we should probably not be talking about this life. Yeah. You're right.
We'll just go down to Harmony Spirits and buy.
Yeah.
Some of their stuff.
We need to go down there and do a podcast.
Oh, a podcast from Harmony Spirits would be a ton of fun.
We can I wonder if you'll let us sleep in the back by the kegs. That would be awesome. We'll just go down there for the weekend.
You can always ask.
I will. I'll ask James. I'll get him on here. We'll do it one time. That'd be fun. It'd be so. Harmony Spirits is a guy that we actually met him through cycling.
Yeah, he's part of the cycling community. Yeah. We've met around Rochester,
and he was kind of doing. We'll get the whole story from him, but our side of the story is that he had been dabbling in making his own whiskey for quite a few years before
him,
that.
Him and a couple friends, yeah.
And now they actually have a distillery in Harmony, which is about 45 miles south of Rochester, and. I bought one of his signature bottles when they first opened up, and we haven't touched it yet.
Mm.
It's down at the cabin, not on the lake, and someday when we get a bunch of cyclists down there, we'll open that puppy up. Yeah. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, their stuff's, what I've had of their product, it's quite tasty. I really enjoy it. And their facility's beautiful.
It is. It's a cool place. Harmony's really cool a cool place. Little town, actually.
There's a great Estelle's. Have you been to Estelle's restaurant down there?
Is that the one way at the far south end of town?
It's like, no. It's like a block or two north from the distillery, right on Main Street.
Oh, right on Main Street? No, yeah. I've been there. The only one we've ever been to was, we call it the Krusty Corner. I don't know what the hell the name is really is of it. It's actually a cool little, they got really good pizza and a good selection of beer, and they're kind of like a good spot to park your car and then go jump on the trail. There's a river trail is a paved trail that we can go ride to, we've hung out there a couple times. The guys from Decor will come up there. It's like halfway between us, and we'll meet there and then go do a day on the paved trails out there. It's a lot of fun.
So just quick, talking about meeting a cycling community here. When you and I were training for that, the first year we rode the Almanzo together.
That fucking thing.
Remember, you and I were training together, yes. And we rode from Rochester down to Fountain on gravel roads.
Yep.
And then we hopped on the trail and rode over to the camping place, the old
barn.
Old barn. Yep. You took me to the old, just you and I rode down. We were gone all day.
Yeah, we spent all night. We spent all night in the bar down there, and we got done.
Yeah, we went down to the old barn and had the fried pickles.
That's right.
And then we rode back, and then we stopped in Chatfield at the bar there.
Do we stop at? What is now Jack's? Do we stop at Jack's?
No, it's across the street.
Oh, it's where the microbrewery is now.
Oh, yeah, it might
was.
Be.
It was Coyotes or whatever the hell it was called back then. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, you and I did that ride down there and back, and it was pushing. Well, it wasn't quite a century, but it was like a good 80, 90 miles.
Yeah.
It was pretty far.
It was good. Yeah,
I can't believe I could tolerate you for that long of a ride. Just
I was behind
one.
You the whole time yelling at you. Go
you were
faster.
I think you were, back then, you were riding a single speed. Salsa Fargo.
Oh, is that when I rode that green fault? That the original Salsa Fargos?
Yeah, that's what you were. You rode that on your first Almanzo. You rode
I
that
did.
Salsa Fargo with the, you could get the wood chipper bars
yep,
on it? Or?
Yep. I love the wood chipper bars. That's as close as
I'll
ever come to.
You don't have that Fargo anymore, do you? Or is it in the, is it in the storage?
No. That frame, there was problems with that frame. I don't remember what happened to mine, but a lot of them had problems with No, I shouldn't say a lot of them. A few of them had problems with derailleur hangers breaking. I know somebody was. I know there was somebody that was on Tour Divide, and they had to get him another one right away because it snapped off. I think there was a few of them that just had a problem with the hanger. I think it was the hanger. It was a problem.
Yeah. So like you, me, James. Again, back to the cycling community. You, me, James, other people. Matt, remember Matt Hertz? He moved away.
Oh, I forgot about Matt. Yeah.
Yeah. So like me, you. Those group, we did the Almanzo 2 years in a row, and then we also did the gentleman's ride. We got DNF on two straight gentleman's rides. Oh, that's a great story for another podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So the Almanzo was started by Chris Gogan, and we didn't do the first few because the first few were in essence riding the route from Rochester to
like
Mankato.
It
was Mankato, I think, where it ended up. And then eventually became a loop through Rochester, and we started riding it. When it moved to Spring Valley, and we started in Spring Valley, and it was kind of cool. So there, it was, the Almanzo was 100 miles.
Well, the gentleman's ride was the same route, but yeah, it was in the fall.
But then that was early. Then there, but eventually, before Chris gave it up, there was... the Almanzo, There was three of them. One was 100 miles. One was a century.
A metric
and a
century.
Metric, so it was 162 miles. And then the other one was went into Wisconsin and came back. And you did everything else. So you did like three.
It was like a 2-day.
Yeah, it was like 300, I can't remember, 300 some miles.
Was that like the Wilder or something like that?
That's what it was, yeah. And that was and those guys that did that were insane.
I think he told me once, like, one of the guys that did it one year was like one of the guys that did the Race Across America. That did the really long one.
Yeah, the gist of it was you went through three states because you went Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was super long.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. So we're once again over our alignment. God, Greg's going to hate me. I don't care. thanks, Jeremy, for coming.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
We will do this again another time. We'll go out and do something stupid so we have better stories to tell.
We always have great stories to tell.
That we remember anyway. All right. End of podcast number 2. We will talk to you all later. Thank you. Bye.